the truth is actually words do inspire. Words do help people get involved. Words do help members.
Welcome back to my podcast. Today I'll be interviewing Larissa Beresneva. She is currently a marketing student at the Ted Rogers School of Management. As a highly motivated professional with over 2 years of customer service experience, she has exemplified strong negotiation skills. Larissa is currently completing a Bachelor of Commerce in Business, Management, Marketing, and Related Support Services at Ryerson University. Previously, Larissa completed a semester in France, where she stayed in a French-speaking environment, successfully completing all of the Executive Language Institute's requirements. Larissa, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you. I'd like to begin by asking you a few questions. On Wednesday, September 23rd, we both attended the Canadian International Council's third annual Foreign Affairs Student Debate. The debate was pertaining to whether the UN headquarters should be in Toronto. Ryerson spoke in favor of having the United Nations headquarters in Toronto. Meanwhile, the University of Toronto spoke against having the UN headquartered in Toronto. Larissa, please begin by addressing the key points made by both sides.
Well, first, thank you for having me, Magdalena. And yes, it was a very interesting debate. I'd like to give credit to the team from Ryerson University first, because in my opinion, they had a more difficult position to defend. I think it's always more difficult to talk about something hypothetical than about something factual. Nevertheless, both teams provided great arguments for both sides. The Ryerson team argued that Toronto, being a very multicultural city, deserves to be the home of the United Nations. We also heard that Toronto has all of the necessary infrastructure, that be the space or the security or buildings. Toronto just had experience a few years ago of hosting the G20 summit, and it shows that it is ready for hosting such big international events. Ryerson team also argued that Canada will benefit as a whole country, because it would give more significance to the country as to a player on it, the international political arena. But Ryerson team didn't stop just on that, and they also proposed an option of moving the UN headquarters from country to country every 25 years. In Toronto would be the first hosts as well. But the team from the University of Toronto also had great counter-arguments. First, they pointed out that having the UN headquarters in Toronto may bring dangers, and I agree with that, dangers like riots or possibly even terrorist attacks. And New York, being a host for multiple international events every year, it definitely has the established infrastructure to deal with such problems and threats. So the U.S. is an established leader in the world economy and politics as well, so the headquarters location in Manhattan is well-deserved, in the opinion of the team of UofT. And the team also argued that it would be simply disrespectful towards the United States to take something that they've cherished for so long. And they rejected the idea of moving the headquarters from country to country, as in their opinion, it might cause unnecessary costs. And for that reason, some countries will not be able to host at all, which is unfair.
Absolutely agree with that statement. I actually attended the event as well, and I found that in terms of the costs associated with moving the United Nations headquarters from New York to Toronto, the burden would be significant. And at the same time, it would cause a lot of difficulty in terms of choosing a different location every 25 to 30 years. In terms of the multicultural and diversity argument which was made by Ryerson, I do agree that Toronto is a very multicultural and diverse city, which is great. However, New York is just as multicultural and diverse as you previously mentioned. So Larissa, what I'd like you to do next is I'd like for you to provide our listeners with some valuable information pertaining to the significance of the United Nations.
So as the UN was created after the Second World War in 1945, it was a platform to for international cooperation to prevent such conflict from happening again. And today, some of its main goals are, again, to maintain international peace and to promote human rights. In my opinion, the UN brings balance to the political scene because the decisions are being made not locally, but internationally. And it serves as sort of a system of checks and balances in the world of politics. So it is undoubtedly a very important international organization.
In terms of the debate, what is your opinion about the debate? Are you in favor or do you oppose the United Nations headquarters being moved to Toronto?
Well, first, I'd like to say that I'm very glad that such events are being held on university campuses. This particular debate was an opening event of the International Issue Discussion Series. It is a forum that is held by Ryerson University throughout the year. It is great that students have such easy access to very thought-provoking events like this. In terms of the debate, I would argue against moving the UN headquarters to Toronto simply because I don't see a practical reason to do so. Frankly, I would agree that maybe it should be located in a more politically neutral country, but moving it to Toronto will not achieve this goal. Additionally, choosing a more neutral country may result in an inconvenient location. It might lower efficiency and effectiveness of the diplomatic work. I think that location is very important in this case, and I think that New York is a destination that is easily reachable from any point on the globe.
In terms of international affairs and relations, what are the three most concerning issues in today's world?
Definitely, I think that conflicts in the Middle East are very concerning, specifically the civil war in Syria and the terrorist threat from ISIS as well. And the next issue that I'd like to mention is caused by the first two, is the European refugee crisis that is happening right now. I think EU has a very difficult problem to resolve. And I think that the continuing conflict in the Ukraine is also a very difficult and important issue.
You successfully graduated with the intermediate level of French through the Corporate Solutions Executive Language Institute. Can you please provide our listeners with information about the significance of knowing and understanding a second language?
Sure. Well, EF provides multiple language immersion programs where you can perfect your linguistic skills. And I started learning French with EF, and I'm still continuing on my own and taking courses in the university. But in my case, I actually learned English as a second language, and I'll be honest, that determined my future because it basically allowed me to get into a Canadian university where I'm studying right now and to live in a country where no one speaks my language on a daily basis, right? So I think that learning a foreign language opens so many new opportunities, and you don't even realize that until you actually learn and utilize that language. Knowing a foreign language gives you a more objective view of the world because you can learn about different countries from the people who live there, actually.
Right, and I think that's something that today's youth should definitely take the opportunity to learn more about. There are so many programs out there that provide you with a chance to engage and immerse yourself in a culture. For myself personally, I have a Polish background. Both of my parents moved from Poland here to Canada, and Polish was my first language. English is my second language. However, I have strongly benefited from knowing both languages. I'm extremely proud of having a Polish background. And in today's society, I think whether you know French, Polish, Russian, Ukrainian, there's a lot of merit to having that second language in terms of your workplace, in terms of traveling, and in terms of any prospective opportunities. So I think it's great that you have that skill. Next question I wanted to address is the fact that you stayed in a French-speaking environment, displaying an ability to communicate successfully in an unfamiliar setting. Tell us more about your experience living in France.
Well, I had a great time and experience studying in France. It was my first serious encounter with French language in the natural setting. I think that the best way to learn language is to communicate with native speakers. And the reason for that is when you know that you can use your native tongue or the language that you speak fluently when you're studying a foreign language, you will certainly use that opportunity, and this will disturb the learning of the foreign language. But if you're thrown into the environment where no one speaks your language, you just have to use foreign vocabulary simply to survive. That's how I was surviving in France. The key is not to be scared, I guess, because people will always appreciate that you're trying to use their native tongue.
I mean, France sounds amazing. I always wanted to go personally. I'd definitely love to go and travel one day. I've had friends who've previously gone, and they were affiliated with French immersion, and they just spoke very highly about the beauty behind French dining, French food, the fashion. It's definitely a to-do on my list. In terms of some of the work that you've done, Larissa, I have to say that I'm really impressed with the amount of work that you do in terms of engagement. Not only are you an academic, you're also someone who dedicates a lot of time towards helping your community. I noticed that from 2010 to 2011, you participated a year abroad, which was sponsored by the U.S. Department of State. You stood out among over 30,000 contestants all over Eurasia, and you successfully became one of 350 people to earn the scholarship by displaying outstanding leadership and communication skills. Tell today's youth more about the Future Leaders Exchange Program. In addition, tell our listeners more about your experience with the program itself.
Sure. So the Future Leaders Exchange Program, FLEX for short, is an exchange program for students from former Soviet republics. And it's a scholarship financed by the U.S. Department of State, whose goal is to exchange experiences between the countries. I got this scholarship when I was still in high school in Russia, and I must admit it was one of the best experiences in my life. Well, speaking of learning a foreign language in a natural setting, that's when I truly felt like I learned English. But also, I had an opportunity to meet amazing, amazing people. During the time students spend in the States, they live with host families that are picked for them based on their surveys and based on the interviews. And I got extremely lucky with my family. We are still in very close touch, and they actually visited us in Russia, and I'm not from a big city as well. I think that we're like a big international family right now, and definitely the main goal of the program has been achieved, which is the building relationships and exchange of experiences. So, yes, it was a great, great experience.
As a previous auction coordinator for Make-A-Wish America, you organize a Christmas auction and leisure activities in order to raise funds for children with disabilities. Please provide our listeners with more information about how they can contribute, just like you have.
So I volunteered for Make-A-Wish Foundation while I was in the United States with the FLEX program, and that's when I truly understood the importance of volunteering and contributing to the community. So Make-A-Wish Foundation is an international nonprofit organization which helps kids with disabilities to make their dreams come true. And in my case, we organized a very small local event, and the money that we raised during the auction was spent on funding a trip to Disney World for a girl. But there's good news. There is Make-A-Wish Foundation Canada as well, and on their website, makeawish.ca, you can find lots and lots of opportunities that how you can get involved, such as fundraising, volunteering.
There's a lot that can be done, right?
Exactly.
You can always be involved.
Exactly, in many different ways. So I definitely recommend devoting some of your time to such a good cause.
Absolutely. In addition to doing all of that work over the summer, you were also a volunteer at the Toronto 2015 Pan Am Para-Pan American Games Organizing Committee. Tell us more about that experience.
So I decided that I would be a volunteer for Pan Am Para-Pan Am Games as soon as I got to know that Toronto would be the host of the games this year. And I thought that I must not miss this opportunity. I think that volunteering is a great way to gain experience, especially if you are a student, a full-time student like me. And that's when you can learn and apply your transferable skills. I was a part of a venue management response crew, and we were basically responsible for all of the operations happening in the venue. So whenever and wherever help was needed, we were there to help. And definitely was a great opportunity to practice teamwork, decision-making, and adaptability even. But this specific experience also helped me realize that Toronto is my home. Being an international student, previously I still felt like I'm a guest of the city, but during the games I was in the role of the host. So seeing so many different people all over the world, and actually helping them around the city, telling them the story behind the games, I finally started to feel like a true Torontonian, I guess.
You definitely are. You're a part of Toronto. You're immersed, you know. It's great to have someone like you a part of the city as well. It's what makes the city stronger, and it's what makes our community thrive. In terms of some of the additional work you've done, you were also a volunteer at the Toronto International Film Festival, where you worked as a voting squad volunteer, informing a high volume of approximately 500 festival attendees about the movies, and you encouraged them to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Please discuss the significance of voting and being involved in the community.
Right. Well, I must admit that volunteering is very addicting. As for voting, I believe that it is a very important right of every person, and political voting specifically is a very important obligation as well, I think. Some may disagree, but that's my opinion, especially in the highly democratic societies when you know that every vote counts. Voting is a great chance to voice your opinion and change the life of the society to the better. It might seem like a single vote is a grain of sand, and it doesn't matter, but all of the grains put together form the stable ground we walk on. So each vote put together forms a stable society we live in. So I think voting is very important.
I definitely agree with you. Every vote counts. The youth listening, you should definitely be involved. You should vote. You should be active. Don't be afraid to voice your opinion to make a difference. Another thing I wanted to mention was that you previously achieved a lot academically. So as I mentioned before, not only have you been actively involved in the community, but you're also a scholar. You're very engaged in international affairs and world issues. Some of the honors and awards you won include the University of Toronto's in-course scholarship for outstanding achievement in the first year of study. In addition, you also earned the University of Toronto Scholar Award for international students. As a scholar, you were also on the Dean's List at the University of Toronto. Larissa, with all of your experience, what advice can you provide to the youth interested in pursuing international relations and affairs?
Well, I think that communication is the key to success in pretty much every field in our highly globalized world. What can I advise? Maybe learn different languages and travel as much as you can. That's the best way to get the authentic perspective of the world. And be initiative and try to do your best at anything you do, but at the same time, don't be afraid of making mistakes, because I think making mistakes actually shows that you're doing something right. You're living life to the fullest. So.
And the thing about that is you will never learn unless you make mistakes. Sometimes some of your best lessons are from the mistakes that you've made.
Exactly. Right? There's a Russian saying that the only people who don't make mistakes are those who don't do anything. So,
very true. Larissa, thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast. Any final words for the listeners?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Magdalena, and I wish all the best and all the best successes in university career or on the job to all of the listeners.
Thank you.
Maybe you could be a mayor or a senator or a Supreme Court justice. You ready? But you might not know that until you join student government or the debate team. And no matter what you want to do with your life, I guarantee that you'll need an education to do it. Let's go. What you make of your education will decide nothing less than the future of this country.